Are you ready to try your hand at placing your very first stock trade? Then check out our free guide, 10 Steps to Choosing Your First Stock to Trade, the Ultimate Beginner's Guide. In this free download, you'll learn how to choose the right kinds of stocks and how to find them, know when to buy your stocks and when to sell them, and you'll learn how to take your very first steps to becoming a stock trader and much more. Grab your free guide now by going to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Last time we talked a little bit about what makes the mindset of a seasoned trader different than that of a new trader. And I want to kind of do part two of that today. If you go along with me, I think we got a few more ideas here we need to talk about. Last time we talked about some of those differences. For example, seasoned traders play the math. They think differently. In other words, they think more like a business rather than a hobby. They manage the risk all the time, and they make a plan for each trade, and they trade that plan. And of course, they manage their emotions, fear, greed, pride, even addiction. And we ended up kind of talking about addiction last time, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit more to start this show out. That just means people get to the place where they love trading so much, they want to trade all the time. So the great symptom of being addicted to trading is that you're trading too much, and maybe you have a lack of patience, which is another problem with emotions, I guess, because you just don't want to wait for a great play and you'll reach for kind of a mediocre play and you really don't want to do that. So we quoted Jesse Livermore. If you remember, Jesse Livermore was one of the greatest traders in my book. I love reading about his life of trading. His personal life was a wreck. He didn't know the Lord, but he sure was a great trader. And he predicted the 1907 crash and the 1929 Great Depression. As a matter of fact, on that one, he made $100 million in one day. That's worth about $1.7 billion in today's money. And he did that shorting stocks right before the crash. And he said this, remember, you do not have to be in the market all the time. Well, that's my message last time and this time. But here's another quote from him. And I love this one. He says, the sitting and the waiting, and he spelled it that way in his book, sitting and waiting is important. You have to sit and wait for all factors to come together to merge into the perfect play. Now, we'll talk a little bit about what he means by the perfect play. But one thing about Jesse Livermore and his children, he told them, don't tell anybody our secrets, right? And so when he says the right factors have to come together, he never told people what those factors were, but we at Tradeway do. Our family, we're about three generations into trading. Now we're in the fourth generation, and even my grandkids are learning to trade. That'll be the fifth generation of stock traders. And we have a system called the three-legged table, and we share that with people across the country. And you know what they are if you've been on before. It's fundamental analysis, technical analysis, and market tone. And you need all three of those factors to point to the same thing. Either go for an up play or go for a down play, or maybe how about a go for just staying cash and don't trade at all. So that's our secret. That's the factors that need to come together and merge into one, quote, perfect play, as Jesse Livermore called it. Now, there are no perfect plays because we can't tell the future, but he kind of has the same idea I do, is I don't like to get into a trade unless I feel like it's perfect, like everything about it is great. It's got to work. Now, we know it doesn't got to work, right? But you need to feel like that before you get into a play. So don't reach for a play and just get into a play because you want to be in the market. That's the whole point of last time's lesson and this time. So the problem is that people don't wait for these important factors to line up and get on their side. The fundamental analysis, how great is the company, the technical analysis, You know, what do its little motions look like, the price action, the volume action, and then what is the market tone, what's going on in the world that might make this up play go faster or this put play to make money on the way down go faster. So those three things need to come together. Well, we need to wait for the most advantageous times. That's what we're talking about here. Don't trade all the time. Wait for the most advantageous times. You've got to learn this and realize the importance of waiting for every leg of the three-leg table to be in line to see success in the long run. Trading too often leads to some other bad things. For example, we already mentioned reaching for trades just so you can be in the market. You grab a trade that's not that great. Maybe getting in at buy points that are not perfect. It's already bounced up too much in an up play, for example. Maybe it's halfway up the range and you say, well, I'm still going to get in. That's a bad habit. Another thing is it can make you feel like a really bad investor if you look at your trades over a few months of time where you've been reaching for trades and just not doing great trades, when really you're not a bad investor. You just aren't keeping the rules. You're getting in at bad entry points. You're getting out before your exit point, different things like that. But a lot of the problem could be you're just getting in plays you shouldn't have gotten in the first place. A lot of times when I analyze some of my clients' plays, I look at maybe 3 to 5 of those. I'll find maybe 3 out of 5 where I'll just tell them, well, I wouldn't have gotten in this one. And then I'll tell them why. But it's just because they were reaching for a trade. It was not a great play. And then not spending enough time in prayer and walking with the Lord. There's a symptom, because if you're sitting in front of that screen all the time, you're not doing the things that Tradeway had in mind when we taught you the skill sets. Now, if you go out to Tradeway.com and you take a look at our education tab, you're going to find all kinds of educational programs you can get involved in. And the goal of all those is to teach you to have time freedom, not to lack time freedom. So don't sit in front of a screen watching stocks all day. We have a better method than that. And so, you know, if you're reaching for trades and getting into trades that aren't that great, you're in the market all the time, then you're not freeing up the time for prayer, for walking with the Lord, for spending time with your family, or spending enough time in whatever ministry God's called you to do. You're just focused on that screen every day, and that's not what we want. And besides that, it's not going to create a bunch of good trades anyway, because you're going to be in the market too much. Now, here's another thought. Seasoned traders watch out for what we call late-stage bases. Now, when you get involved with our educational material, you're going to learn what bases are. They're the little things that create patterns. But basically what it is a stock may move up. They always tend to want to go up, but then they get tired and they rest. They just move sideways for a few days or weeks. That's called a base. And then they tend to explode up off that base if they're a great company and if the market tone is good. Or they may have an earnings report that's fantastic that makes them break up off that base. But the thing is, you can see these bases when you look at a chart. And if you count them, you get out to about the 4th one or the 5th one, that's not a great time to enter a trade in that stock. That's called a late stage base. It's better to get into like the 2nd or 3rd base and get your play done. And then when it gets to those late stage bases, just watch for it to correct maybe 5% or something. So when you see a stock that you really love to trade and it's in a late stage base, just watch it for a few days or weeks and it'll break out moving down through support and it'll go down there and correct a little bit. And then when it starts to move back up and make the patterns again, you can get back in. Now, this goes back to Livermore's ideas a little bit, but seasoned traders only do advantageous plays. And he called them perfect plays, right? So everything had to line up and look perfect, like it just can't not work. I know that's bad grammar, but it's pretty good preaching, right? So one thing you can do is wait for your stock or whatever instrument you're trading to make a correction, move down through support, make a correction, and right after that major correction is over, you should have the most advantageous time for a lot of great plays. Assuming everything else is kind of positive in the market tone after the correction's over. So think about that. Wait for corrections, and then right when they're done and the market tone turns positive, that's a great time to be watching for perfect plays. The next thing that seasoned traders do is they preserve wealth for the next first year of the next new bull market. Now let's talk about that just a moment. You don't read about this anywhere, at least I haven't seen anywhere, but it's all throughout the Tradeway material, is that there is something different about the first year of a brand new bull market than any other time. Well, how do you know when that is? Well, because it's after the end of the last bear market crash. So when a market moves down a little bit more than 20%, and then maybe even goes and doubles that, moves down a lot, you know, maybe 35%, close to 40%, that's a major crash. Well, after that, you're going to have the next new bull market. Normally, that bear market will make what we call a triple bottom first. If you set your chart on weekly, you'll look for a triple bottom, and then it will begin to recover. And we believe that time, that first year of the next new bull market, gives the most opportunity for making money. At that point, everything wants to move up. And there's seldom more than one correction the whole year. Sometimes there are no corrections for a whole year. Whereas the next year and the year after that of a bull market usually have an average of about four corrections each year. So that's quite a difference. Near the end of a bull market a few years back, I had one student say to me, "If I get this right, the most important thing I can do right now, other than practice my small money trades, is preserve my wealth so I can use it in the first year of the next bull market." And I said, bingo, that's right. Preserve your wealth. That's what big players do when they see markets get old and tired and volatile and very difficult to read. They'll just kind of go to cash more and more, so they have a big chunk of cash ready so that when the next new bull market starts, they're ready to go in big. And, you know, they don't try to trade that much during those times right at the end of a bull market, right before the bear market hits. So they really want to be in cash before that bear market hits. Whereas your financial advisor, more often than not, he'll tell you to stay the course, you know, just stay in the market, and they leave you in all the way to the bottom. There is no reason for that. If you go out to our website and check out the AMPT program, that's A-M-P-T, that is how we help you with your retirement funds. We will go to cash at times like that. And the history of our fund shows we've done it very effectively. Where you're in cash when those big moves down happen, you're not losing the value of your account. So that way you can jump back in at the bottom when everything's cheap and ride it back up. But that's just not commonly done out there in Wall Street, and we don't understand why, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to let your money stay in all the way down. You need to get out, go to cash like the big boys do with their own money, and be ready to go in big when the next new bull starts. So right now, as we record this, it's July of 2022, and we're in a bear market. The market's already tanked 23.74%, and it's probably going to go down 30% or more before this is over the next few months. And, you know, so many people's financial advisors have left their money in, and they're still losing money as this moves down. They may have lost up to 23% of their total money in the whole world. And they always say, well, don't worry, it'll come back. Well, you know, that can be problematic. Back in the year 2000, when that bear market happened, it took over 15 years for the NASDAQ to recover its losses and get back where it was. Well, what if you were 65 or 70 when that happened, and they told you, just stay the course, leave your money in? You know, you don't want to listen to that. You want to get the skill sets to know when it's time to go to cash. That's a huge part of what we teach you at Tradeway. And you really need to get that in your life to be a great steward of the money God's given you. Well, if it's true that the first year of a new bull market is the easiest and most lucrative trading, then it's also true that the most difficult time to trade is the last year of an old, tired, dying bull market. And the second most difficult time is maybe during the bear market crash. Although really, when you got to Tradeway.com and you learn the right way to buy puts, they give you the potential to make money on the way down, and all of a sudden that's actually more easy than the last year of a tired bull market. In other words, the bear is actually easier. So we're kind of in the middle of that right now. And you have opportunities. I mean, before the bear starts or right as it starts, you want to be in cash, go to cash, and then you'll have some opportunities on the way down to do some put plays and actually have the ability to make some money on the way down. But you're basically protecting your money in the bear market so that you're ready to go when that first year of the next new bull happens, because that is the greatest time for you and your family if you've got the skill sets. Now, listen, right now is a bear market, so it's a great time to go out to Tradeway.com, take advantage of our educational programs, and learn and do your paper trading and your small money trading and get that behind you so you're ready to go when that next new bull starts. And the next thing about a seasoned trader is that he or she understands risk And they understand the fact that they're going to have expenses. They're going to have times when the play does not go the right direction. They're going to take an acceptably small stop out. And these seasoned traders, most of them, if you study about the great traders in history, they've suffered in some cases great losses before they found success. So they actually had to learn their own rules. Now, the great thing is when you go out to Tradeway.com, we're going to teach you the rules that our family has learned over several generations of trading so you don't have to make the mistakes, right? But, you know, most traders, frankly, when they start, they'll break some of those rules. They're going to have some expenses, and that's how they learn to keep the rules. So you need to understand that's okay. It's okay to understand that you're going to have to learn to be okay with losing money in order to make money. You can't trade without expenses. So when you get into the later years of a bull market, that's when you really need to get good at understanding how to navigate with minimum emotion, in other words, controlling your emotion, being decisive and timely, making correct decisions, and also knowing that a lot of time you just need to be in cash. Remember, there are no businesses in the world that don't have expenses. And in the trading business, the expenses are the plays that go the wrong way. You need to get used to the idea that it's okay to have expenses as long as you keep the rules. You got to manage the risk, but there's still going to be risk. If you embrace this, you're on your way to being a great stock trader. Now, you got to just get in your mind that it's impossible to enter a play that does not have the risk of stopping out. You minimize this risk by getting all three legs on the trading table that we've already discussed, and then getting a great near-perfect buy point on a known pattern that you recognize from the training that you got out at Tradeway.com, and thus you're getting the probability math on your side. And remember this, you cannot judge your trading ability until you've done a large number of plays. That's because we're dealing with probability math, and that kind of math only works on large sample sizes. So I like to look at like a three-year period on my own trading. I don't judge myself on the last month of plays. You know, I look at how did I do over the last 3 years, and that's what you should do too, or you'll just beat up on yourself if you have a string of stop outs. But when you look at it over a three-year period where you can let that actuarial math come into play, basically the idea of winning big when it goes right and losing small when it goes wrong, just that simple math over a long period of time gives you potential to create a real difference in your family financially. So I use three-year segments of time to judge my own trading. You guys, in many cases, some of you have only done 6 trades or 20 trades or 50. Even at 50 trades, you might begin to know which rules you're breaking, right? You might begin to know where your problems are, but you're still not in a position to judge your success. So give yourself some time to paper trade, to do the small money trading, to break the rules a few times with small amounts of money and learn how that feels so that you learn to keep the rules. Give yourself 3 years of trading before you decide if you're a good trader or not. And that's not counting your initial practice trades. And I really believe this, only those who fail to do this will fail in the end. In other words, only those who quit. Remember this, your patience will be tested before the Lord grants you the privilege of being a steward of a lot of His money. The Bible assures us of this. It's a Bible principle of wealth. Basically, the principle goes like this. God brings every entrepreneur a test and trouble before the success comes. I'll show you this in one simple verse you'll probably remember, which is John 15, verses 1 and 2, where Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, listen to this, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, purging it means He prunes it. He cuts out the bad limbs and so forth so it can be even more fruitful. That's kind of a hint that there's going to be some pruning that takes place when you start out as an entrepreneur in order for you to be even more fruitful in the future. Well, guys, that's the end of this program, and I hope you liked it. If you did, would you please rate and review it? So let other friends of ours that kind of believe the way we do find us, and we can be a help to them too. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.